Okay, yay. So where are you located, Robin?
I am in the Twin Cities up in Minnesota.
Okay.
Yeah,
Oh, I
sorry.
wonder if I'm going to hear a little accent from you.
Probably. Probably. Yeah.
Okay, so I usually like to say, let's dive into it. What's going on and how can I help you? But first, tell me about your dog or dogs, what kind of dogs I can see in the background.
Yeah, that's the one that we'll be mostly chatting about. That's Bilbo.
Bilbo?
Bilbo. Yep.
Okay, love it.
And then he is a lab Australian Shepherd, bulldog, pit bull, border collie, all the mixes, but he looks like a lab Doberman mix. Like he's really tall and skinny and has like the Doberman look.
Yeah.
And so when I did DNA and there wasn't any Doberman, it like totally floored me.
You threw me
But
with that bulldog one.
what?
You threw me with the bulldog one in
Yeah,
there.
yeah. He's got a little bit of an underbite. So like
Oh, you're gonna have to
that
send me pictures. I have a
Yeah, I
slight
will.
obsession with cute dog teeth.
Oh gosh, he's so lucky, he's so cute.
Okay, so tell me what's going on.
I've had him for, I got him in April of 2022. So like 18 months-ish or so that I've had him, 16
Okay.
months. We've tried a whole bunch of different training. He's very, very, very kind of set in his ways.
Okay.
He's been a really hard dog to train.
Okay.
He's so smart, and he like almost to like his detriment.
Yeah.
And I've always said that like if he just learned to apply those smarts, or if like we just figured out a way to help him do that, like we would just
Yeah.
be golden. But we ran into a lot of problems early on with him running. And
Okay.
just taken off. He was a stray when my rescue picked him up, and they
Okay.
told me that he was between like one and two. But once I got him and kind of got to know him and got him to the vet, everybody was like, there's no way he's even one yet. It's like he's probably closer to 9 months.
Oh, wow.
And then in talking with other trainers and everything there, they it's we've all kind of come to the conclusion that he probably was a stray from birth until he was picked up by this rescue, and
Okay.
just never got that opportunity to like bond with humans in those like crucial early months to figure out that like, okay, like people are cool, like we can hang out with people, you know, they're fine. And so it took a really solid like year for me to feel like we were really like connected, and like
Okay.
he had finally like made that like, okay, like he knows I'm his person, and he's not snuggly and he's not affectionate, but like he's comfortable with me, and he knows that like he's safe with me.
Okay.
He is always on alert, always watching. He's laying right now, but his favorite place is to like perch on the back of the couch with his head just like right out the window. And just watch constantly. We moved back in May, and he was like one of the biggest factors in me choosing where we moved to, because we lived in kind of urban Minneapolis and right on a really busy road. And it was just he was never relaxed, always watching. Always barking at people and cars and delivery and mailmen and just everything.
So you
And so,
struggle with reactivity?
yes. Yes.
Okay. Is
Yeah.
that the
Yeah.
biggest thing?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah. And so I chose this spot because it's a lot quieter. We're not on a busy road, but he still finds things to bark at. He still barks
Yeah.
at neighbors and other dogs walking by.
Okay.
We've gotten better on him running and me like trusting him that like to let him off leash every now and then. But unless we're in an area that I'm very familiar with and that is like mainly fenced in. I don't let him off leash because he's got a wicked prey drive.
Okay.
And so he'll just take off. And
are you e-collar training?
I've done it a little bit, but that's actually what drew me a lot to your style of training is it's because I wanted kind of more purposeful e-collar training. I've always just done it on my own. So okay. I've never had anybody to walk me through like how to use it and when to use it and, you know, how to do it so that he isn't desensitized to it. And
yeah.
And so, because that's kind of where we're running into now is that he used to be really responsive to the tone.
Okay.
And now like I'll beep him to try and get him to come back to me. And he's just like, nope, I don't want to.
Is it a mini educator?
No, I got one just a while ago, like right when I got him just off of Amazon. I can actually grab it and show you.
Walking over, people are listening.
It's
okay.
Yeah.
So how many levels does that have?
It goes up to, I think, 100.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's there's the tone, the buzz and the shock.
Okay. So one thing I'm going to say, cause I have no experience with that e-collar. So,
yeah.
If you have questions about e-collar stuff, I can give you my best advice, but also yeah. I can't vouch for that e-collar.
Yeah. And I'm super, super close to pulling the trigger on the mini educator one. Just, it's just more expensive than
sure.
what I've paid. So.
Okay. Okay. So in a session like this, I always like to try and get, cause we've got about 30 minutes, get the most out of this session. So you've told mm-hmm. me some about Bilbo, which is great. What are some issues that you're struggling with that you would like my advice on?
Just kind of how to help him control that like reactivity just so that it's, and help him be able to relax in an environment that like isn't a normal environment that he would relax. Like he doesn't relax in the car. He loves going in the car,
okay.
But he stands up and he watches out the window the entire time.
Okay. So let's start there. Let's start yeah. with the car. Cause that's okay. I feel like sometimes, what has really helped me with like board and train dogs is like when a dog is dropped off, there's 15 different issues the owner is struggling with.
Yep.
So for me, I like to simplify it. It makes it more doable where I feel like yep. if we're trying to address everything, it can be overwhelming and I don't yep. want you to be overwhelmed. So in the car, well, first thing I want to tell you, one thing that I would just recommend, and my recommendations always come from a place of let's try this. It's not a forever thing, but I want you to try it and see how it helps things.
Yeah.
I don't think it's helping things if you're struggling with him not settling and barking at everything, if you allow him to get on the back of the couch to bark out the window.
Okay.
So that's just what yeah. I find. If you can take that piece out and yeah. maybe replace that, he's laying really, I can see him right now, laying really yep. great on the couch. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Maybe replace that with some place time.
Yep.
So the reason for this is that gives you a moment to give him some clarity. Cause sometimes okay. I'll get the question, well, if my dog lays fine on the couch, why do we need to do place? Because it kind of seems like that's a little bit easier for him. Mm-hmm. And so adding in a bit of a challenge, it's helpful because you're going to start asking more of him in your yep. life, whether it's in the car or out on a walk. So place is a really great controlled scenario to ask him to do something he might not want to do. Okay. So working through that so that he starts to be like, oh, okay, I need to take guidance from this person.
Yep.
So that's one thing I would try. I would just try it for the next week
mm-hmm.
and see what happens.
Okay.
If it's like, I'm not really seeing anything. It might take a couple of weeks, but I do find one thing that's helpful, like with board and trains, because it's just a great example of what's possible in 2 weeks for me. Mm-hmm. It's not magic. It's just,
yeah.
there's more structure. We replace things with things that are, I feel like, more helpful for dogs.
Yeah.
So just replacing that for a week, see how he does.
Okay.
Okay.
Does it need to be one of those like elevated beds that I see people use a lot? Or if I just have like an old dog pad that they really don't use, can I use that?
You definitely can. I find that the flat beds are more challenging.
Okay.
Where it's easier for them to like crawl off, you know,
yeah.
like army
yeah.
crawl halfway off. And then
yep.
the owner's like, well, they're halfway on. It's fine. Where yeah. with a raised cot, they actually have to step off.
Okay.
Step on. It's yep. a more dramatic thing that they're doing. It's easier to catch them and easier to provide clarity on what you want them to do, get on to this place cut. So I would start with what you have. That's what I always recommend. And then if you find that it's a bit challenging and he's being a little bit more pushy, because he sounds like a pushy guy.
You
mentioned that in the beginning. So I do find with pushy dogs, that pushiness shows up in all the ways. Mm-hmm. So a raised cut might make your life a little bit easier.
Okay. I have a couple sitting in my Amazon cart. So
I'm
prepared to get them, but
okay. Yeah. Start with yours. You never know. Maybe he'll just be like, cool, this is great. And you won't need to get one, but it's there just in case.
Okay.
For the car, something I always liked. So, okay. I'm curious, because for car stuff for me, one of my big focuses is down.
Mm-hmm.
Reason for this is it seems like if you want him to relax more, like right now, seeing him lay down, he looks super, super chill. That's what we would like for him most of the time. Cause that's, to me, a happier dog is able to relax.
Yeah.
Some dogs can definitely handle looking out the windows, looking out the window of your house or the car. I find most dogs, they get more amped up. And especially if they're reactive and known to bark at all the things, looking out the window in a car ride is not the best way to set him up to relax.
Yeah.
So down command would be my thing I'd like you to work on with him. Right. Does he know down? Have you worked on that? Will he do it when you ask him to?
We worked on it a little bit in the beginning. He knows sit really well.
Okay.
Whether he chooses to do it is another thing. He's good at doing it. And I found this out yesterday when we were driving around. I'm like, I'm just going to try and get him to just sit in the car, you know, just start there.
Sure.
And it was like the most selective hearing that I have ever seen. Like he didn't pay a lick of attention to me. And I was even like reaching back and like trying to like pat his butt down. And he was just like, no, I'm not going to sit down. Like, this is, I don't want to do this.
Oh yeah.
So, yeah, it would, I think it will take us a little bit of time to get into that. Like, and I use a seatbelt for him in the car because he's a total ping pong ball.
Oh,
and he's
all
over the place. And he tries to get up onto the console with me and he wants to look out the window and he's just like blocks my view. And so the seatbelt has been really helpful to just kind of keep him in the back seat.
Sure. But keep him contained.
Yeah.
Okay. So one thing I would say that also, and this is the reason I talk about place so much and why it is, I think, such a valuable, I think it's the number one command every owner should do with their dog. Because when you start to work on place, you can actually start to pattern the behavior of down on place.
Yep.
And then it's transferable to the car. So mm-hmm. is he food motivated at all?
More so recently. Okay. But when I first got him, he wanted nothing, or he just didn't care at all about treats. He just wanted to look around and to sniff and explore. And I tried all the high value treats and,
I think that
he would be more responsive to treats now.
Okay. Well, what I would like you to try is using his actual food.
Okay.
So what I usually like to do when I don't use food for a ton of things, cause I work with a lot of owners who they've used all the food. They want to move away from using food and I want that for them as well. I would use some of his food from the morning, from breakfast. Okay. I would maybe wait to feed him. So like if you feed him at 7 a.m. or whenever, I would actually hold off if you can, depending on your schedule, and tell me if your schedule allows this, but use part of his kibble later in the day or later in the morning to use to only reward for down on place.
Okay.
So I find that with dogs, because I work with a lot of dogs who are picky about food. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't always work this way, but that helps you build a little bit of food drive. So what I would do is just start to work on down on place. So when you get him on, lure down with some food.
Yep.
Some dogs are more challenging than others. So you might need to wait him out a little bit. But I would encourage you to use some food to like lure down for down on place.
Okay.
And this might, like, I like to look at it long game for down, because down in the car will be so helpful. But it sounds like he has no desire to lay down in the car. No. So I don't want you to have to keep worrying about, you know, putting his butt down or leash guidance. And we'll talk about how you can kind of get to doing that without actually driving yet. But so start with place and start to use food to reward for only laying down.
Okay.
So do it for like 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes if you're really getting into it. Mm-hmm. But each time he gets on place, lure down. And even one thing when I'm starting to teach down is I'll even reward if the dog just puts their nose down to the place cot. Okay. So I'm not necessarily only rewarding when the dog fully lays down.
Yep.
Because some dogs take 4 sessions before they actually do that. So that's like a little baby step. You're just starting to reward for like little moments.
Okay.
So start to work on that with place. Then with the car stuff, you can start to ask for down in the car, and it's very similar, but place is just so much more manageable, you know, because in the car you have to turn around. But next time that you try the car stuff, I would say stick in your driveway. Don't even drive.
Okay.
That's what I usually like to do.
Yeah.
The other thing I want to ask about is, because whenever I'm talking with an owner about reactivity stuff, it's one thing to teach the dog what we want them to do. But for a lot of owners, there's a missing part about the missing piece of correcting a dog for doing the things we don't want them to do. Mm-hmm. So for the barking, like let's say barking out the front window.
Yeah.
Do you use the e-collar at all for that to say no to that?
I have in the past. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you have in the past, you stopped?
Just because I was starting to notice that he was just becoming a little more desensitized to it. And so I didn't want to keep doing it before I had like really read into it and figured out how to use it.
Okay.
So
did you want to talk through that? How to use it for barking?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'd be curious. So the one that you have has 100 levels. What level did you get up to?
I think it usually, it's at, 5 for the buzz and 10 for the shock, but I never like intentionally used the shock. Every now and then I would accidentally hit the button and it would like really, he obviously doesn't like it. I don't think there's levels for the tone now that I'm looking at it.
Okay. So I would highly recommend the mini educator.
Okay. Yeah.
And, I do this with owners that I've done virtuals with.
Yep.
I can get it for you at a lower price. Mm-hmm. And I can have it sent to you. So if you want to do that, I can save you about $50 on it.
Okay. Yeah.
So, because the thing about that, I think the technology is a bit different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not that it's not a shock, but we don't refer to it as shock. I refer to it as stim. But I think with like the models that are a little less expensive, I feel like the technology is different. Where, I don't know though, because it has 100 levels, but I'm just saying this because it makes me feel better to say this out loud.
Yeah.
but if you only got up to 5 out of 100 and you're saying he's desensitized, that's not him being desensitized. That's more you just not using a meaningful level.
Okay.
Which will be the same with the mini educator.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you use the levels 1 through 5 and there's 100 levels, how would he respond?
If it was for him barking, he would stop. Yeah.
Okay. So you stopped using it, and this is no judgment. This is more just helps me understand. You stopped using it because you would tap at 5 and you didn't want to dial up and he wouldn't stop barking.
Well, I honestly never, so I had stopped using it before I started reading your guide.
Okay.
And so I had never used it in like, oh, I'm going to like dial it up a little bit more. So once I saw him not really responding to it with the recall, I was just like, I'm just going to pause on this.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I understand that.
Yeah.
Okay. So with the barking, one thing that's really helpful, it sounds like he's probably maybe used to you saying no, but I would definitely recommend having a leash on.
Okay.
So when you correct for the barking, you can give him some guidance. And again, this would be really helpful with place.
Yep.
So with barking, what I like to do is I'll say no to the barking. So the levels, it totally depends. I don't think ever 5 out of 100 for me with the mini educator has stopped a dog from barking. Mm-hmm. It's usually about 10 to 15 above their working level.
Okay.
So the working level is the first level they feel.
Yep.
So you introduce the e-collar with that working level. Then to correct for things, I usually recommend 10 to 15 above the working level. Sometimes I'll go higher. That's just based on my experience. But also, when I'm correcting, I want to have a leash on because it can freak a dog out because they're not used to a more meaningful level. So it's really crucial in that moment to give some guidance with the leash. And then I would guide him over to place. So this is why working on place would be really helpful first.
Yeah.
So that then you can guide him over to place, give him a job. Doesn't mean he'll stop barking, but that sequence I find is really helpful. Say no to the thing you don't want them to do.
Yep.
Have guidance with the leash, guide back over to the place cot.
Okay.
Yeah. So for people listening, Bilbo is out the window.
It's okay. Just need, hey, it's just neighbors.
Okay. So this is really interesting, Robin. And this is no judgment. This is more, I hope, helpful for other people.
Yeah.
Do you notice how you're talking to him? He's not even looking at you.
Yeah.
Okay. So us talking to our dogs in that moment, I think is more helpful.
Yeah.
I think it's helpful for us to kind of relax a little bit or think that we're helping them.
Yeah.
Not helpful for him. He could really care less about what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's just something to think about when you have the e-caller. The e-caller is a way to actually make what you're saying meaningful, which would be keep it simple.
Yep. No,
tap on the e-caller and you would figure out what level that would be.
Okay.
And then guide him away from that because he can't handle being at the window. And if you want, it'd be different if you were having him do that and you really could care less. You live on acres of land. He barks at everything, whatever. Yeah. He's a country dog.
Yeah.
But you, it seems like you want to do more with him and you want him to be a good citizen, you know?
Yeah.
So letting him do that, it's just fueling the fire.
Okay.
So the less excited stuff he practices in your home, the better it will be.
Yeah.
So this is where ideally you have a leash on him. You can guide him over to place.
Okay.
So that doesn't mean he's going to like switch off and be super chill.
Yeah.
But that's a better habit to get him into than allowing the barking out of the window.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. I feel like I got sidetracked, but what else? What are other issues? Or did I not answer fully what we talked about before?
No. One of the bigger things that we've been working on so recall is something that I really want to get comfortable with him for, because he is a dog that would 100% benefit from being able to be off leash and explore and do more like self-guided stuff without having to be on a leash at all times.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't trust him to not run away and to come back to me.
Okay.
So guidance with that.
Okay.
So
what I usually like to do, what I would recommend to you, is going and watching my Izzy highlight. She's a dog I have in right now.
Okay.
But I was showing how I use the e-collar with tone plus stim. Okay. So I love that you were using tone, because tone is really helpful for recall, but tone is just a sound. It's a bluff.
Yeah.
So a lot of dogs will end up listening to it and be like, oh yeah, that you could use food to reward when the dog comes back to you with tone. But the pairing of tone plus stim is really where you get the, oh yeah, heard that coming, where you add more clarity to what tone means.
Yep.
If you don't come when you hear tone, there's a correction afterwards. It doesn't have to be a high level. But like the other day with Izzy, I started at 14. We were outside of the dog park.
Okay.
And she has a high prey drive around like ducks and birds and things, squirrels for sure.
Yeah.
So each time that I tap, so I would tap on tone and then tap on stim if she didn't come when she heard the tone, because she knows what recall means. That's also important too. You've been using tone with your dog. When you first start with the e-collar with tone for recall, giving some leash guidance plus the tone is helpful.
Yep.
But for you, since you've been doing it and it seems like he understands it, but he's blowing you off. Now I would start to pair, I would tap on tone and then tap on stim.
Okay.
So, but I think that would be helpful to watch the Izzy highlight just to see what that actually looks like.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been seeing her on your page. And I haven't watched the highlight, but I've been watching. I'm like, oh, she seems super similar to Bilbo.
very high prey drive.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. She's one of those dogs though. She's not very sensitive to the e-collar.
Okay.
She's not super pushy. So this is what's interesting about dogs. Bilbo sounds like a pushy dog.
Mm-hmm.
She can make challenging much more challenging.
Yeah. Yeah.
So with Izzy, she's very happy to learn and she wants to work. And she's one of those dogs where when you give her guidance on something, she's like, oh yeah, okay, got it. Where Bilbo might not be like that. One of the most stubborn dogs I've ever worked with was a bull terrier.
Yeah.
And stubbornness it's hard.
Yeah.
So, but you're also, there's some very simple things that you're missing that I think would add a lot of clarity for him.
Yeah.
Like having a leash on, replacing couch with place time. Are you doing any kennel time stuff?
No, I don't kennel either of them.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm in a really small apartment. And so to put the kennel in would take up a whole lot of space. And,
okay.
And for all of his other flaws, he has never, ever, ever been a destructive dog. And so I've never worried about him getting into anything.
Okay.
When he's been left. So
the only thing I'll say about that, not that you need to start kennel training, not everyone needs to kennel their dog, but it's not helping that he's looking out the window and barking at things. The thing I'll say about that though, you can still have a dog who is polite and not reactive or you can better manage him.
Yep.
If he still can bark out the window when you're gone or something like that, because you can't control that.
Yep.
But having the e-collar is helpful just to provide some clear boundaries. When a dog is pushy in one area and you can't really control that, it's kind of like if I have a dog who comes back for boarding and the dog is reactive and I recommend don't take your dog to doggy daycare anymore because it's just a free-for-all. It's like Chuck E. Cheese for dogs.
Yeah.
But some owners have to. It's just how it is.
Yeah.
And I'll get the dog back for boarding and the dog is a little extra pushy. But I can set clear boundaries and it's kind of like they snap back into place, but you just have to be believable.
Yeah. Yep.
So that would be my thing on that.
It's interesting that you mentioned doggy daycare. Cause I just started sending them because I switched my schedule from 8-hour shifts to 12-hour shifts. And so I didn't want to leave them home for 12 hours all by themselves. And he has actually, he has to be in an individual boarding space and they take him out every now and then to play and his sister Winnie will come in and sit with him and play with him. But he was aggressive with two different dogs on two separate occasions. And so they have to individual board him now.
Okay.
But I was really hesitant to send him back to doggy daycare because I know it's super stimulating for him. So I'm starting the process of like looking into other stuff on like Rover and like seeing if somebody can come and hang out with them for an hour or two each time I work.
Oh yeah. Okay. Well, and that's the thing too. It's not, you know, everything, it would be ideal if we all lived in a perfect world and everything could be perfectly right. And our schedules allowed us to never have to do any of the things dog trainers say not to do, you know, but I think for you, just thinking of like replacing some habits.
Yeah.
For the next 2 weeks, if you just replace the couch time with place time whenever you're home, and that doesn't mean especially if you're not doing any kennel stuff, he doesn't have to be on place all day long when you're home.
Yeah.
But just I would take away the couch privileges.
Okay.
And I'm telling you, I've heard it time and time again where an owner doesn't believe me that about this and it sounds crazy. Like, what does that have to do with the other things that I'm struggling with? They try it and they're like, wow, yeah. That makes a big difference.
Yep.
So just try that. Even if you just do that, that's a really great head start.
Okay.
And then also being able to use the e-collar to say no to the barking. That's really important too.
Okay.
So does that make sense what I said about, cause we started talking about something else, but I don't want to make a recall seem too simple, but it kind of is.
Yeah. And I've always thought that we just didn't have the right, like, building blocks in order to get to recall.
And especially with because I don't talk a lot about food, and dog training is, there's so many accounts that talk you have to use food and all this stuff. And so I find though when I'm working with dogs who are super prey driven, they could care less. You could have a steak in your hand and they don't really care. So that's the beauty of using an e-collar and a long line leash.
If
you start to make to create a new language. When you hear this tone, then you can follow through with the stim to make it much more non-negotiable.
Yep.
So I know you want to go chase this thing, but also to me, recall can be life or death.
Yeah. Yes.
As I know you know. So pairing the stim with the tone would be really helpful.
Okay.
And then I know you said you have the e-collar guide. We're in the process of adding videos to go along with the e-collar guide for the same price of the guide. So, I'm trying to finish this up by this weekend, but if you see it, and I'm going to send out an email to everyone who has purchased our guides to give them access to the videos.
Okay.
But if you see it or, you know, you don't hear anything from me in an email, message me and I'll give you access to those. Cause there's four different videos on how I use the e-collar for recall.
Yeah.
And you can actually hear when I use it, which is helpful.
Okay. Yeah.
So, I hope that will be helpful as well.
Yeah. Yep.
What else? We've got, about 10 more minutes left. Anything else going on? Do you feel like
it's
doable?
It's yes. Yes.
Yeah. Or...
And so much of our struggles has been just me not being consistent in his training.
Okay.
And I fully own the fact that like, if I had put the pedal to the metal a little bit harder in the beginning and like, maybe not in the beginning, but like a year in, things might be a little bit better for us.
Oh, but, wait. You mean after doing this for a year, you think it'll get better?
No. If I had been more consistent. He's finally comfortable with me.
Oh, got it. Oh, because like, I was going to say, this is not going to take you a year.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
Oh, got it. Okay. Yeah. Okay. You might be a little bit like me, and tell me if I'm right. Cause I'm always trying to learn more about owners and I mean, you're people and I'm a person, but, this dog training stuff I know can feel overwhelming. And especially when it's your dog and you finally feel connected to him after a year, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Do you think it's easier when you think about it in like, okay, being consistent is one thing. That doesn't mean perfection.
Yeah.
Like I know a lot of owners get caught up in, oh, everything has to be perfect or else we're not making progress. Where for you, if I tell you, like, think of it in smaller pieces, like just replacing couch time with some place time, does that seem more doable? Or do you want to think about it? Because this is how I am, honestly, I like to be all or nothing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do everything I can all day long. And excuse me, that's how you feel that you're going to make progress. I'm curious.
I like the little things at a time.
Because
that's where we've always struggled, that I always had a hard time like setting aside a half hour, an hour to like really hit the training hard a day.
Oh, got it.
And so when I figured like, oh, I don't have that kind of time today, we're just going to skip it today. You know, then that's when we lapsed and we stopped doing what we should. Yeah. So it's the little adjustments that we can make to our day that don't really require like now it's training time.
Yes.
That's what I feel like we succeed well with. So like, we walk now with a prong collar.
Okay.
And his walks have always been really, really tough for us. He pulls through everything.
Okay.
But, and I had tried the prong collar at first, a couple months into getting him, and then tried it again like a couple months ago, and just something like flipped with him, and he was finally like, oh yeah, this is uncomfortable. And so now he still pulls a little bit, but he's way more responsive to like me pulling him back and trying to keep him in that heel.
I'd be curious, send me a picture of what the fit looks like.
Yeah. Yep.
Cause it might just be, cause I find with a lot of owners, they're nervous to make it tight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Prong collar. So I find it's either too loose, it's down too low. So make sure it's up super high, and you might want to take out a link.
Yep. Yeah. That's one thing that we've struggled a lot with. Cause his fur is so slippery. And so like, I'll put it up here and then he'll pull and it's just like, whoop, like right down.
You know, one thing that's helpful with that, even if you're not using it right now, but with the e-collar, what I'll do is put the e-collar strap.
Okay.
I'm not using the e-collar when I have it on, but I put it right under the prong collar. Okay. So it kind of sometimes if I'm using a prong collar that maybe isn't the right quote unquote perfect fit, it holds it up a bit.
Okay.
So that's something to think about that might be helpful with that.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So walks have gotten a lot better for us.
Great.
It's a lot of just I want to be able to take him like out to like a dog friendly brewery or like a patio and like have him just be able to like sit and chill and not be so on edge and so alert. And
yes.
And because my other dog, I always say that if I had gotten her first, I'd have 12 dogs by now because she's just has required very little work.
Yeah.
She's a pit mix, and she's just like the definition of a Velcro dog. So I actually got the separation anxiety guide too, because I was like, yeah, she could use some work on that stuff.
Okay, great.
And she's been awesome for him. Like just has been so, so, so great. But since getting him is when his like reactivity towards other dogs has started.
Okay.
So I would love to just be able to take both of them out to like a patio and just be able to hang out and relax and not worry about corralling them the entire time.
Yeah. So a little, just thing to think about, because that I love that vision. I love a vision. If you have a clear vision of what you want life with your dog to look like, especially if it's specific like that. Like one time I asked an owner when I usually like to ask an owner when they drop the dog off for the board and train, what do you want life to look like? What's like a big goal for you when you get your dog back? And one of them said, I just want to be able to sit on our front porch and not have him barking at everything.
Yeah.
And so I love yours, the brewery. Okay. So something I want you to think about, because I think this is helpful. It's hard to connect the dots when you haven't seen this before, because it's just your dogs. For me, I've seen this with dog after dog after dog and how powerful it is. Hold on to that vision of wanting to go to the brewery.
Yeah.
One of the biggest things that is going to help that make that happen is what you do in your home.
Yep.
So the reactivity at the window, taking that option away for now is really going to help you get closer to the brewery.
Okay.
It's not that it's going to make him never want to react to dogs,
but
it's a piece in the puzzle. And I see it time and time again, where it's not so much the, like, let's say the reacting on leash to other dogs, that is the thing you have to work on, because that is something I want you to work on. But it's also the reactivity in your home, being able to say no to the barking with clarity.
Yeah.
And then give him a job of place, because that just starts to get him more used to, and it won't be easy at first. It feels like, oh my gosh, a roller coaster of they don't want to do it, they want to get off, they're fidgety. But the more that you pattern that behavior of, this is what I want you to do when you hear stuff outside that I know you want to bark at, I don't want you to have this whole conversation with him. You might, I talk to my dogs too, but I'm just saying it, you're patterning that new behavior of calmness in your home, which is much more controllable.
Yeah.
It will help you get that much more closer. It will help you get closer to the brewery dream, which I love.
Okay. I got dogs so that they could be a part of every aspect of my life that they can be. And so that's been frustrating for me, is that I can't take him anywhere that I want to. I wish I could take him over to my parents' house, but they have cats and he can't even handle being inside the house, even if the cats are hidden, because he smells them and he has to search the entire house.
Okay. This is where we come back to that again, Robin. Place at your parents' house would be great.
Okay. Yeah.
Because that takes away the option of running around and trying to sniff. And he sounds like a beagle on the hunt, which I know what that's like. But think about it. If you give him a job at your parents' house, so really working on this, because he's capable of it right now. He's laying on the couch.
Yep.
So there's nothing going on that he wants to bark at.
Yep.
So he's showing you what he's capable of. But now it's just, okay, this is what I want you to do in a situation like at your parents' house. I know you smell all the cats. We're going to do this instead.
Yeah.
So you can also, so the thing about also recall with cats is so helpful. This is what I'm saying. And I hope that you can kind of connect the pieces.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it can feel like an isolated thing I want you to do, you know, like place in the house or recall at the park. Or really, it would be helpful to practice at your parents' house if they're okay with that. You know, like recall inside of the house, not outside, making recall non-negotiable, recall over to the place cot.
Yeah.
And then the boundaries of place. Like those two skills, I think, are the things that would be most helpful for you to work on.
Yep. Yeah, you know? I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's what I would think about.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, anything else? Got about a minute left.
I'm sure there is, but I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I will. You said that you can get me like a little discount on the.
Yes. Message me on Instagram.
Okay. Perfect.
And we'll get it set up.
Perfect. Yeah. Then I'll get one of those ordered for him then.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. And then start out with just the little pad that we have and see how he does. And if I need to get a better raised bed, we will.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Sounds like a good action plan.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you've
Awesome.
got this. Please keep
Okay.
me updated. Send me some updates on Instagram.
I
Let me know
will.
how it's going. And whenever I do a session with someone, I always like to tell them if you have some short questions that you want to ask me, throw them over to me on Instagram.
Okay.
And I'll try to help the best I can.
Perfect.
All right, Robin.
Thank
I'm
you.
gonna click. I'm gonna click stop recording. So hold on 1 second. But okay, bye everybody.